Adams. Super Talk 1270.
Get ready for Unriveted Radio on Super Talk 1270. Now, here's Travis Feist and Rob McLeod.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Unriveted, a Dakota Customs original podcast. I'm your host, Travis Feist, and with me, and always, Rob McLeod.
How we doing, everybody? What's up?
Yeah, I think winter's coming. It's actually, but yesterday was a really nice day out.
You know what? I think we're better off just not even talking about it. Everything is fine right now.
Yeah, don't jinx it.
Yeah, it's
just leave it alone.
Just the weather.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You're probably itching though, because snowmobiling's like probably here or close to.
Actually, not really. Funny you say that. Right before this, I was at the bank. So I got a new sled coming in, and you know, interest rates, and so you know what? It's whenever it happens. You know, stuff's expensive.
But don't you usually talk to the bank before you buy the sled, you order the sled, then talk to the bank?
You know, order first, ask questions later.
That's true. Yeah.
But no, I'm excited. It should be awesome. So, but I think kind of missed it last year. Last year was a really good snow year out west, and slow start this year. So I remember last year at this point, people have already had two or three trips under their belt, and I don't dare take a new sled. Probably not for another month.
So is yours going to be in, or what? Like, what are they telling you?
They said it was on the last shipment that the dealership is receiving, so it's going to be in that shipment. So these new sleds, you can either get them with like a 10-inch gauge or like just a standard gauge. It's like, well, I'm not on my sled to be looking at a 10-inch screen.
And what's standard? Like, what's
just their, like it just has your tack readout, your altimeter. I guess if you want to look at your speedometer, but it's just a standard function display. They were in the high end. They just call it the big display. It's got GPS. It's got like all like your where you've been, but it only works under cell service. Like you don't get no cell service out there. So it's like this dumb.
Yeah.
It's like an extra $2,000. I was like, no, this is, I'd be wasting money. You know, it's like taxes.
True. Yeah, very true. Yeah.
That's a little aggressive.
I can't remember anywhere really that you get cell service. And I know when we go to Yellowstone, like when I used to go, like Yellowstone, if you get way up on top, I think it was there's Island towers. Park and so yeah, there's you can get
that's
where cell service.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, you're very limited, especially if you like Cook or you know, I don't think there's any service. Even anywhere in Cook, I think.
Like nowhere near, I think there's
Big Horns.
There's Gardiner, and that's right when you get into the park, you get service there. That's because it's like a community. There's also a hub for like medical response.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they got to have cell phone reception there. But I ordered my sled without that fancy gauge. And of course, all the somebodies ordered their gauges with the, or their sleds with the big gauges. So those came in first.
I'm sure.
Me as the peasant, get my stuff last.
Yeah, well, that'll teach you. Go big or go home. See, you could have probably had it. You could have been tooling around on your truck with it on your sled deck.
I have a home to go to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, hopefully it comes in soon.
I'm excited. Yeah, it's cool. So they got a couple in. I went and looked at them in person. It should be pretty trick sled. And I'm excited.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I know it's been actually a couple weeks since we've actually did an actual live podcast. We've...
More than that, huh?
I think so.
Three?
Calvin was our last one. That was 2 weeks ago, I think, yeah. Dude, we've been busy. We've been doing a lot of stuff. We've
been across the country.
Been across the country.
You've been across the country like three times.
Yeah. But, you know,
it's fun.
August, September, October.
Each month, I
put on over almost in the same exact spot three times.
Yeah,
pretty close. At least like in the geographical area, it's the same spot. So I think I've done my fair share of driving, but
it's so funny because you're just like, I think we're like before you took all those trips, you're just like, I hate driving. I'd rather just sleep. I don't want to be in a vehicle going down the road. I'm an airplane person.
Well, I am, you know, and The thing is, like, with me is...
I think we were talking about one of our morning meetings. Like,
yeah, probably.
Truckers and stuff.
Yeah, in which sometimes we get off track on our morning meetings, but I'm all right with that. It's, you know, we can visit.
Can't be all business.
Yeah, true. And I think I was talking because I feel like the little bit of free time I do have, that I cherish my free time and I don't want to spend it sitting behind a steering wheel. Like, I want to be doing something. So if I'm going to go somewhere for 3 or 4 days, I don't want to spend a day and a half driving there because it's such a waste of my time. And so that's why I'm a guy that if I'm going to go somewhere, if I can, I'll fly just because I want to get there and enjoy me. It, yeah. And sometimes the drive is the enjoyment, you know?
It's like when you said the steering wheel, like I was going to say, what if that steering wheel has paddle shifters?
Well, see, that's what I mean. It's completely different there. You know, and so I went down in September, took the bike down, which, again, that's a whole kind of different. It's not really a steering wheel, but you're still driving, but it's a different experience, and it was still awesome, even though it was wet, cold.
Open air.
Yeah. It's
different.
I think I'm going to have to plan that different. I need to start going down a little bit earlier and start getting fair weather riding, because technically I've been proven wrong that since I started doing this with Jason, that, you know, your mentality is if you're heading south, technically it should get nicer as you head south. I mean, it only makes sense. If you even think about it, it's still, if you are leaving here and
going
straight south,
to the equator,
it should get nicer. Mm-hmm. Every day, every mile that you go south, it should get nicer. And I've been proved wrong almost 3 times. Yeah. To where it usually doesn't get nice until like Arizona or like right before the border. And it's usually crap all the way before that. So I think we need to maybe plan a couple weeks earlier just to get out of that funk. But you know what? At the end of the day, it still makes a good memory and it makes a good story, but it would just be nice to have better weather going down. And so I did that in September, end of September. Then at the very beginning of October, like 2 weeks later, I think it was? Maybe 3 at the most. I went down, I think it was like 2 weeks. I ended up going down to Kansas City with my cousin.
Yeah, you went further than Kansas City.
I went to Oklahoma. I went down to Oklahoma.
Like Dallas,
I think we were 75 miles north of Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much almost all the way to Texas to pick up the Merc.
That drive sucks.
And it did. And him and I, and thank God my cousin was in town from Seattle. They came to visit, and unfortunately there was some family stuff that happened there, and so he was actually here. It was just a family deal, and he was hanging out, and it's like, hey cuz, like, I need to go get this car, let's road trip. And I've never road tripped with my cousin, and he's the same age as me,
I think he needed to get out of Dodge too.
Yeah, to get him away from what he was dealing with. When he told me no right away, it kind of bummed me out because I thought, God, it'd be kind of cool to road trip with him. And I've never done that. And at the last minute, the night before, I was going to just take Chopper and we were just going to do it. And the last minute, he's like, yeah, my wife said I should, like, she pretty much told me to go. And I thought, well, good for her. Like, that's awesome. But it's crazy because the trip, it went very fast. We were there and back in like in less than 2 days. 2 days, I think, because we left Thursday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we were back Friday night at almost four. It was like 3 o'clock in Saturday morning. We got back, so it was almost exactly 48 hours to drive all the way there and back. But it was funny because and knowing my cousin Anthony, I didn't know if he was much of a morning person or not. Well, I get up kind of early every morning. Mm-hmm. So I told him, I'm like, dude, I'm leaving at 4 o'clock no matter what. I don't care. Like, we have to be on the road by 4 o'clock. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. And I thought, yeah, can you though? Like, I don't know if he's a sleep in kind of guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's, okay. Even though he works hard and he's union, but if he's not getting up, he's sleeping in, you know? And, Yeah, he showed up on my doorstep like a wet, beat up dog at 4 o'clock in the morning. You look rough.
Definitely not a morning person. Yeah,
but he was ready to go, and it was funny because, you know, knowing that we're going to be driving, I actually, like, I packed snacks and a cooler, and so I had, like, chips and peanuts and like, 350 Snickers and like the basics and energy drinks. And I even made salon, like summer sausage sandwiches. Like, oh, yeah. I was ready to go.
Back when I had a roommate, I'd go on the road and they hook me up like that.
Yeah. So, and I'm just thinking, cause I don't know what to expect, but I was like, well, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what food's going to be. And I really didn't want to be stopping because I know we're on a tight schedule. So I was like, So if we get hungry, and Anthony's, he's a big boy, you know, he is
360 was barely covering it.
Yeah. So I'm like, the boy likes to eat, so I'll bring snacks. Well, it's funny because I opened the door and he's standing there and he's got a bag in one hand and a cooler in the other. And I'm like, what'd you bring? And he goes, I brought snacks. And I'm like,
covered.
Right on, dude. Like, yeah. We are family. He brought energy drinks. Yeah. And
he knows what's up.
Yeah. He brought cookies and he brought chips and he brought wet ones. Things to his wife. And so anyways, we get in.
How great is that, just snacking in your truck?
And it's funny because when I actually let him drive for the first time, I started dishing out our sandwiches, and which he said it was amazing, by the way. And so I was eating chips, and I got a couple of chips like on the seat.
Sure.
And he's driving. He looks at me, and he like starts yelling at me in my truck. Like, he's scolding me. And I'm like, that's my role. And I would be that guy if I was sitting over there.
He's a super duty guy.
Yeah. So he gets it. Yeah. And so I had to laugh. It's just like, man, that's exactly what I'd be doing. Cause I'm like that same guy too. Like, don't make a mess in my truck. And we had a great time. We went down to Oklahoma and we picked up that Merc, came back. So we hot shotted, had a great time. And then what was it? A week and a half later?
I think you got back.
2 weeks?
Yeah, you got back that same week. That Tuesday after you got back, one of my buddies sent me a text. He's like, hey, give me a call. And I was like, oh, geez. So, like, I also help him out with his farming operation. I was like, geez, did I mess up or something? I don't know. So I call him, and he needed two new mid-engine Corvette C8s driven down to Arizona from here. And I didn't even hesitate. And when I asked you, you didn't even hesitate. Mm. And I thought for sure you're just like, man, I've been on the road a lot. I got a lot of stuff to get done. I thought for sure I was getting that spiel. And you just looked at me. You're like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in. Like, it clicked with you. Like, as soon as what he asked me to do, it clicked with me. Like,
well, I think if somebody could have put a camera in my face, because I know you came to me and you said, oh, no. Hey, man, I know you're probably not going to want to hear this.
I think right away, I was like, I got a deal for you.
Yeah.
And
then you're like,
oh, yeah.
First, because we just got done talking about that. Like, I think I just got done saying, like, I hate driving. I mean, if I'll drive, but if I'm going somewhere, I'd rather fly, you know, depending on the circumstances. And we just got done having that talk. And then you're like, dude, I got to tell you something. And I'm like, what? And you're like, I know you just got back. You've been on the road, but would you want to go driving? And I know I had that look on my face. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, now I just got back. I don't feel like driving. But as soon as you said two mid engine Stingrays to go down to Vegas, I don't even think you finished. I'm like, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah.
No, really, I'm in. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, okay.
And then, like, so, like, obviously, I'm the type of, like, I like to get things done right away. And so, like, I was here, like, booking plane tickets. I was like, oh, Travis is going to kind of chirp me for, like, booking plane tickets on his time. And you're, like, just like, no. Like, and you're, like, all in. Like,
help me
pick out the plane tickets. I was like, all right. We're locked and loaded. We're in.
Let's do this.
So, yeah, we.
I was like, very excited when I heard about that. It's not every day you get that kind of an opportunity.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it was something I'll never forget.
No.
It was unreal.
No.
I I've been telling this story a lot, and just me saying that means it's like it's completely etched. It's something I'll never forget. I don't know how else to put it.
It's yeah, I'd have to agree. I feel like, you know, at how old I am and what I've accomplished in my life, I've met a lot of people. You know, I've done some pretty fun stuff. I've been to, you know, Top Fuel drags, which again, I feel like everybody should experience something like that. Just to see a Top Fuel dragster go by you at 300 some mile an hour, it's mind blowing. I mean, you can watch it on TV.
It.
Yeah, you can't take it in until you've actually stood there and your whole body reacts to it. It's unbelievable.
You can hear riding every single cylinder thump.
Yeah, and for something to go by you and actually physically take your breath away, it's a very awesome experience that everybody should to do. I've ridden my bike across the states, and that's just the beginning of it. It's and the enjoyment of being able to do something like that, but to mule a couple and cannonball a couple fast cars that are built and designed for like this kind of a task,
it's perfect.
Was epic.
It was perfect.
Yes. It, I feel like everybody should experience and rent or buy whatever. I don't care. Get a ride. But to take something like that and do something like that, it was the fastest 2 days in my life.
Yeah. I've actually been looking at vets lately.
I figured you would. Is that why they've been holding off on that? Is that why you went to the bank to be like, what's the trade-in value on this brand new sled that I haven't owned yet for a vet?
Yeah. It'd be the first time I've pulled some stuff like that.
Yeah. It's, it was, I'll never forget it. And I think the guys that own the vets, we won't say their names, but for the opportunity of letting us do that.
Yeah.
It,
that was it's like,
you can't explain in words what it was like.
And it's funny. So, I handed him all the receipts after we got back and, I caught him at his shop and he's like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, I'll do that for free next time. And he's like, yeah, I already got people that'll do it for free. I was like, I figured that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we get to do it again, if we'll be getting paid on the deal.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. So, but I think, honestly, I don't know if I do it again, I'd probably slow it down for real. If we did it again, I'd probably not drive as fast.
Really? I think I'd still drive as fast, but I'd actually sleep longer make it like when we're not in the cars, make it more relaxing. But when we're in the cars, still do it the same way.
Like allegedly for everybody listening, I feel like we got away with one
or two. There's two. I think we both got away with.
Cars are fast,
man. It's unreal. You can't describe what it was like. You know, you can ride in that car and cruise up and down the road and kind of be like, oh, this thing is fun.
But to drive
the car, not just for 5 miles, but for 1,800 miles to physically through the mountains, curves, flats.
Through the deserts.
Yes.
I thought driving through the desert was just as cool as ripping those mountain passes.
Yeah.
There's just something like, I just felt like a bad MF just running that thing through the desert.
Yeah.
110, 120, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I just felt like a bad dude.
Yeah. And nothing even more feeling like just a bad
mother.
Yeah. Just when you got two matching vets rolling just right up front of a Starbucks and two dudes get out of it that don't look like they should belong in those Stingrays.
And then pay in a gift card.
And then pay with a gift card that was all we down to. I think we had like 7 cents left on it. Yeah.
Just, dude, that's how dialed we are. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we couldn't. I know that the people inside of the Starbucks there where we stopped that morning, they were looking out like, what? Like, we both pull up exactly the same and matching vets and or Stingrays and everything. And you could just tell, like, like, and especially it'd be different if we didn't know each other to be like, God, how ironic, like two vets would pull up, but we knew each other and it's like, why, how do these two guys know each other and they're driving matching vets and they pull up, you know, at the same time. And I'm sure we just probably looked really weird, but it was definitely
there you go.
Worth it.
Yeah.
So I do know that driving these Stingrays was a very an experience that I'll never forget. And I remember as we're coming, I think after we left Flagstaff is when things really got where it was fun, because coming into Arizona, and of course I was chasing you, and you know I was letting you lead, so just because this was your deal. So I'm like, I'll keep you up front. That way, if a cop too, like, I'm probably better off being behind you than in front. So
sure.
Yeah. So I remember coming, I think we're probably 50 miles out of Mesa there. And I'd look back and it was the coolest thing ever. It was just like a snake. And so I was following and chasing you, professionally driving through the traffic, I'm gonna say, and I looked behind me and there was a Mustang GT, an Audi, there was a Lexus, a Raptor truck,
yeah,
and then I think there was a black older C6, I think, that was behind.
I remember that C6, yeah,
that black yep. one. So it was all of us, and it was just like
him, he gave me the thumbs up.
Yeah. And we I remember looking in the rearview in the side mirrors, and as we're driving, and it was the coolest image ever. That it just, like, you had this long snake, and it was just slithering through these cars coming down. It was the coolest thing ever, and I have to give it prompts. We were, I know that I'm going to say we were never really under three digits. And that Raptor put up a good fight. Dude, I thought for sure
must have been supercharged or something. Yeah, that thing was.
Yeah, I thought for sure. I'm like, dude,
had no problem doing 110.
Right, and my first thing, as soon as I passed him, boy, he like right up behind me, and I was thinking like, okay, but once we started going through the curves, like don't be dumb. Like, I get it. Like, you have a Raptor and it's cool. I respect that.
Yeah.
He hung.
He just wanted some fun.
Yeah, he hung for quite a while, and I was impressed. I was like, "Atta boy!" Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I think he pushed that thing. I passed him first, and then he tried getting up to me, and then obviously he couldn't hang.
Yeah,
you passed him, and then I think he was able to hang with you.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just kidding.
But I know that Audi, I think that was the one that hung with us the longest, and he was right on my tail, but. That was it was just a cool image, just to look back and see that coming behind you. It was pretty neat.
You know, it was a long trip regardless, but driving those cars the way we did was mentally and physically draining, because it's like we were in the 24 hours of Le Mans.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
And you know, and the funny thing about it too is, when was the last time that you went almost 1,800 miles and never set the cruise? You're like, I'm the guy that just driving to Bismarck from here, I'll set the cruise, because it's just like, God, you know, but going there, I think once, maybe for 5 miles through, was it the Grand Junction, maybe, I think, area that I maybe set the cruise for like 5 miles.
Yeah.
But other than that, I never set the cruise because it was pointless.
Yeah.
You didn't need it.
No, what's funny is, like, you could instantly tell when I took a phone call, because I slowed it right down to 80 miles an hour and I just stayed like that. And then it's like, you could tell as soon as I got off the phone, it's like, downshift, gone.
Yeah.
Guy's off the phone. Well, see you later.
Well, so it was, so I'm back to like an excited kid, just like, okay, what? Slingshot, engage. Like, yeah. When are we going to do this? When are we going to do this? You know, so I just stayed right on your bumper. And yeah, I'd have to say, though, I know, like, that first night we got in the Phoenix and in the Mesa there, and I think we were in bed by probably like 8:30, 9 o'clock, maybe, at the
tired.
Just mentally drained. Yeah. It's a toll when and it's not just the driving, but it's you're driving, but you're constantly looking for traffic. You're constantly looking on the sides. You're zoning everything,
shifting.
And, yeah, it was, but fun.
Yeah.
And I have to give it to those vets. when you look at them, you're probably thinking, you know, if you've never ridden in one, they're going to be loud. They're going to be noisy, road noise. You're going to hear the motor. Yeah, they're going to be
car.
Super uncomfortable.
Refined. Transmission's great. I think they run a dual disc transmission. Cars perform. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they're a good bang for the buck. Yep. Like, you get a lot of car for $100,000.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, in today's day and age, $100,000 is the new $50,000.
Yeah, it's real. True. Yeah. And so, you would have thought by driving those things for 1,800 miles that by the time you got out of the year, you'd have been like, my butt hurts and all this stuff. And I, you know, the sound system, everything, just everything about that car, there's no complaints other than you just can't really see with hoot. Like, your peripheral on the sides looking back is like pretty much gone. Other than that part of it, if they could figure that out, that you could see a little bit better, that car is pretty legit. I have to admit.
It's like my bike. I don't run mirrors on my bike because I don't care who's behind me because they're behind me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've also seen your bike.
It looks good.
Yeah. If you're into that look.
What look?
All the scratches and
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You laid it over because you ran through grass or something. Wasn't it on that bike?
My Road Glide?
Yeah. Didn't you lay, or was it your other bike you laid over?
I laid my Street Glide
over. Oh, your Street Glide? Yeah. So, no, it was epic. I enjoyed that.
It was funny because after we got the vets delivered and washed and serviced from the break-in run that we did. Yeah. And so the next day, you keep a couple Harley Davids, you keep your Road Glide and your Street Glide down there, and so does your Jason, and we got on them. We were riding on them, and I looked at you guys, and I was just like so overfilled with like happiness and joy. I just looked at you guys. I was like, "There's got to be a price to pay. When's it gonna hit me?" So I'm still like, we were living too good, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we bust our asses, and so we deserve some fun time like that. But it was like,
yeah,
I haven't lived that good in a while.
It is something to see that we got to cannonball a couple very nice cars down to Mesa. Dude. Yeah.
And then hop on some custom Harleys.
And then call the Harley place and be like, pull my bikes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then jump on them and ride and then drop them off. And okay, thanks a lot. You know, and it is really cool. And it makes a guy feel good that, you know, you work your ass off and you can do nice things like that. But
I'm good. Like, I'm after that vacation, I'm good. Like, I'm back to work. Like,
yeah,
that was all I needed.
Yeah.
And I'd be hard pressed to say we were probably living better than Kid Rock for those couple days. I don't think Kid Rock was living that good.
Yeah. All I know is I enjoyed it very much. And so to kind of back up a little bit on
the middle finger.
The
middle finger.
Well, no, okay. So on this Stingray venture, we stopped at, was it Gillette or Sheridan? No, where'd we stop? Cheyenne. Yeah. So we stopped in Cheyenne, Wyoming the first night. That's as far as we got. It was getting dark out. We didn't want to drive these SP limit at night. So we decided to hang it up.
Well, you hit a squirrel, you'll die.
Yeah. And so we went to this, it was like a steak place kind of. Isn't that what they call it? Or
something chop house, ribbon chop, Wyoming chop house, Montana chop house. They got them all over. They're good. I eat it in Sheridan too.
Yeah.
It was a banger meal.
Yeah, it was a very good meal. And so we roll up in the parking lot. And we parked the Stingrays off to the one side because we want to be the responsible delivery guys, or mules, I think they're called. And so that nobody will touch these cars because, you know, we're here to do a job. So we park them way off to the one side and we bolt back them in. And
for the record, we were just delivering these vehicles and nothing else.
Yes.
We were the mules for the vehicles.
Yeah, nothing else.
For the record.
Yeah. And so we get out and we're like, him and I are both like taking all these like cool Snapchat pictures of them and all this stuff. And
Snapchat? So, no way.
No. Well, I just took a picture. Yeah. Just to send to my mom. Nice. And so like, hey, Ma, look at me. I'm driving fast. And
I want to go fast.
So we go to the motel that night we get up the next morning and Rob's like, dude, what's all over your car? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I, on the driver's side, you look and I'm looking and there's like something like all on the, like the bottom, probably 6 to 8 inches of the car. And I was thinking, what the heck is that? And I'm looking at it and I grab my phone and I turn my flashlight on and I'm like, dude, that's blood.
Yeah.
And Rob's like, what'd you hit? And I'm like, nothing. And trust me, I'm pretty sure that that car at that speed, you would know if you hit something. And then I was like, but how's that? I mean, I followed you, so it's got to be over your car. Nothing on your car.
There's nothing on.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But mine's got blood on the bottom of it. So when we get to the Chevrolet dealership to do the inspection on it, all of a sudden, we check it in. We go back to the house, and Cheryl, the service writer, she texts you and then sent you a video. Well, once they put the vet up on the four post hoist, they took a video of it and they sent it to you. Mm-hmm. And they like, what did you hit with the whole bottom? Was literally caked in blood.
Yeah,
and not like some splatters. It was like literally caked on the bottom of this thing. And to this day, we don't know who or what.
Because there was no damage.
No. And she even said, too, like they inspected the hole underneath. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. And of course, again, if you were to hit something at those speeds and that low, you're not looking for underneath damage. You would be, the whole front end would be.
There's enough ground effects on that car that it would easily, because there's like 8 inches to spare on the front of the
So you would, not only would you be damaging the front, but it would be coming up over the front trunk or whatever they call it. And I mean, you would just do so much severe damage. So the only thing that I think we could come up with is that somebody just previously right before us must have hit a large animal and there was just a pool of blood on the highway.
You went through the blood pool.
And I went through the blood pool, but it was... Like the video that she even sent him, like she got underneath and it was just like insane amount of blood. Well, then when we went to go pick up the vets, you know, we asked her like, where's the self-service car wash so that we can wash all the evidence off the car is what I said. And you go, you're like, dude, I don't understand. You know, he did just walked away.
It's fine.
Yeah. And he seemed fine. And I looked over at the service lady and I was waiting for her to say something, but she wasn't even paying attention. But yeah, it was insane. Yeah. Like the amount of blood that was underneath there. I've never seen that before in my life, but a snake?
Could have been a snake. That makes sense.
No. No. If you see the video of the blood, this was a large animal.
Snake makes sense though.
Yeah. No, this is not a snake. Not that much blood. No, this was like insane amount of blood. So, but yeah, it definitely was a trip that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Ever.
And like speaking of like feeling like, I don't know, I want to just say we were bad MFs. And so we were high on life. We were cruising up to Cave Creek up in Carefree, North Phoenix, and a little bit of a jaunt to get up there. And so I'm in the middle, you know, I'm riding with two OGs. I'm the small fry in the group, you know. So Jason was up front, Travis was pulling up the rear. We're on these custom Harleys. Yeah, you let me ride your Street Glide custom big wheel. That is,
well, I had to. You had the guns,
for sure.
Yeah,
I started out the day with that. I was like, that's the only bike I'm riding.
Yeah,
it was awesome because for anybody that's listened to me or that knows me, I respect every single motorcycle, just from any sort of point of view and how they're built, even stock. I can respect stock non if it's a great bike, if it's a cool bike. I'm not going to diss it. And so, but I do have my own little, preference on motorcycles, and I like bikes with big suspension, high horsepower. and bikes that perform. So Travis has a bike that you built, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, probably five.
13 street glide, raked with a 26.
Yeah.
Custom paint job, stretched bags, side pipe. He let me ride that bike, and let me tell you, it was awesome. Stereo kicks butt on it. It was an awesome experience. I loved it. But riding a bike like that kind of went to my head. So we were on our way to Carefree, and an aggressive Audi driver, most of them are aggressive, or Volkswagen, Jamie. So Travis was behind me. He saw this whole thing happen, and he laid on his horn, did a double lane switch, and cut me off. And
We were in a turning lane off
like frontage. Like it was like an exit that went into a frontage road. It was an exit off the freeway that went into a frontage road, into an intersection.
Yeah, but with a right hand turn right away.
Yeah, and it was big city. You know, it was meant to. For a capacity of a lot of traffic. So
yeah, we were in the turning lane to turn right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was just driving. I was just riding this Harley, and I think he still heard my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, like, next thing, like, I don't know. I'm not sure how I heard this horn because your stereo is awesome. And you know me. I'll blow speakers if I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
For sure. And I hear this horn, this dude just laying on the horn. I was like, what's going on? And this Audi is like coming at me, switching lanes, and cuts me off. And I block up Travis's bike. I'm like, what the? Like, did this really just happen? So, whatever. It's like, I'm not going to let that ruin my day. So, but it kind of was just kind of like poking me in the side. I was like, God, I can't believe that guy just did that. He could have like killed me or wrecked this bike or whatever.
I was shocked because I seen it and I thought, man, like I thought for sure, yeah, he was going to hit you. But then I thought, well, maybe it's an emergency the way he shot over so fast, light on the horn, almost hit you. And I thought, could this be an emergency deal?
Maybe takes off and just keeps gunning. But no, just went right into traffic.
As soon as he turned, yeah, he was normal.
Hudson. Yeah, so I was like, what in the world? So I was like, okay. But I was like, I tell you what. If I get ahead of this guy, I'm going to give him what he deserves. So it just God forbid it happened. I got in front of him, and I laid him the dirtiest middle finger I've ever laid anybody. Just the solid... You know, that middle finger was like 10 feet tall, right in his face. I made sure
he saw it. It was about as big as your guns.
It was aggressive. And then so, and I just loved it. I was like, God, that felt great.
Yeah.
And so whatever, we pull up to a red light. I was like, oh, this is going to get even more hairy. So we pull up to a red light, and he pulls up right next to us, and I'm on the other side. And so Jason, the guy that was in front of us, never saw any of this happen. He's unaware. So this dude rolls down his window. He's like,
he starts just yelling.
And I was like, you're a moron. You cut me off, whatever. Like, and then obviously like we had these bikes where I was like, I wasn't trying to yell at this idiot. And poor driver. He probably wasn't an idiot, but he decided to drive poorly at that particular moment in time for him. And, so then, you know, Bauman, he doesn't care either. He's like, he just looks at him. He has no idea what's going on. He's like, shut the F up before I break your mirror off. And this dude just rolls his
window. Well, because it's funny. I'm sitting behind you two watching.
And Bauman's got these goggles on. And he just looks at him. He's like, bro, shut up.
Yeah. Well, and Bauman is sitting there, you know, just all proud peacock on his new CVO. And just as slow as ever, because this dude is yelling, and Bauman just slowly... with his goggles on, slowly looks over like, what are you yelling at? And then all of a sudden you say a couple of things and he turns over like, what the heck is going on here between the two? And then finally Bauman told him, he's like, shut the heck up break your mirror. So then the guy rolls up his window and then I think
takes the next available right.
And I'm behind you guys and I'm laughing, like just shaking my head like this is... That's so typical. But he deserved it, though. That was he almost got, if you weren't paying attention, he definitely would have hit you, hands down.
Yeah.
Because even I puckered up a little bit. I thought, ooh, hope Rob sees this. And it was very uncalled for. And for the fact of him being mad at you for what he did was, totally uncalled for.
On top of it, like, I was in the wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, dude.
Yeah, so it was... definitely a trip to remember, that's for sure. And awesome. On top of it, we also, just to top it all off, but I'm a huge fan of Joel Coy, the comedian, which the dude is amazing. If you ever get a chance, like, listen to him or go see him. But when we got down there, Bauman had tickets for us to go see Joel Coy at the where they play the NBA.
Phoenix Suns
play. Yeah, Phoenix Suns play. And I'll tell you what, that guy played, he entertained for over 2 hours. And dude's amazing. The dude is a legend. He's so funny. And it was such a great comedian venue, everything. And so, like, you couldn't, for that,
I think that was like
5 days that we were gone, it was just like every day was perfect. Just like epic story. You know, like, it just.
So obviously, like, he's a great performer, but we caught it so perfectly. So. Every probably 1 to 2 years, these comedians, these, top 30 comedians, they'll release a Netflix special. That's like, Netflix is like the new Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they'll work on their best content, and that's what they'll do in this special. Well, come to find out, we got his best content. We got all the content he's been working on for the past 2 or 3 years, and he killed it.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's about to do his Netflix special, and I believe New York, in a couple of weeks. And we basically were like he had it perfected. So basically we got to catch his entire Netflix special before it even came out, and he killed it. Like, I was aware of Joel Coy because when I was in high school, he was popular. But I didn't really see, like, I kind of lost track of him. And so I was like, yeah, he should be good. But no, he was way more than good. He killed it.
Yeah,
like, the dude is funny.
Yeah, and he's like, one of those naturally, like, he didn't try and to, like, be funny. Like, no, some comedians just, you real. Watch, you're
nothing
like,
nothing was like,
he's trying to say things and make skidded. You laugh. No, yeah, it was just.
He read the audience, and he put on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, so that, like, to catch an epic show, and he had that, geez.
That place was packed. Full.
What would you say, 20,000 people?
Probably at least. Because, I mean, look how high that stadium went up. And it was everywhere you looked.
And he had that entire crowd rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I know at the end there, when he was trying to do some of the R&B songs, and he was talking about that one, I think it was, what's that one song I'm trying to think of, that everybody boys, it's a Boys to Men song, I can't remember, but he's like, everybody's gonna, you know, get lucky to this song, and he starts singing it. Well, then he made everybody turn their flashlight on their phone. Whole place just
lit up,
like, insane. You look around and it was like, that was pretty crazy how, like, everybody got in on it and they were standing up. And yeah, Joel Coy is he's awesome. He's a heck of a comedian. So everything about that trip was just, like, epic. It was, you know, we got to drive some really cool cars. You know, you got to ride Harley up in the in the mountains a little bit there, you know, through the desert with a couple of your good buddies, and you got to go see Joel Coy. Like, it just,
and even just like the, I remember, like, just the, it's so much fun being with you and Bauman, and just like the camaraderie. Yeah. And like, I remember, like, that morning we got there, the morning after the night we got there, you know, I was well rested, like, let's go to the gym. You know, Bauman was in his routine. I was like, so that was fun. Like, even just going to the gym down there, or when we dropped the vets off, we were all riding back in the truck and we're just having a good old time.
Just laughing. Smashing each other.
Yeah. Just laughing. It's like, it's like the little things. It's like, I haven't been on a vacation like that in a while. Like, it was just awesome.
Yeah, so. it was a very, and at the same time, even though it was like all that much fun, but it was still so laid back and relaxed. You know, it was like a stress free venture. So it was definitely a put down in the books as a memorable event. That's for sure, hands down.
Yeah, it was kick ass.
Yeah. So,
but. back to reality. I suppose you should maybe talk about what's going on at the shop. Yeah,
for a couple minutes, I guess. It was nice just to kind of visit about not shop stuff, but just what's cool and what we've kind of been doing. And but we actually been working too. It's not just been all play, obviously. But
yeah, it's like we you got to take care of business first in order to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just standard issue.
Yeah. We've got still a lot of projects going on. We're about ready to throw some paint on that Cutlass, finally. Thank God.
Yeah. To see a car in the paint booth that should have been crushed, car was truly resurrected.
Yeah. And it's kind of...
It's that car has started an entirely new life.
Yeah, and it's neat because even just seeing the car from... You know, where it came into our shop and then we peeled the layers back and found everything and how rough and how, like you said, this car should have been crushed, but we, you know, resurrected it. We brought it back to life and just seeing it there for a few months in primer, it looked great. Like I was excited just seeing it in primer, but now that there's paint starting to go on it, it's like gets you excited, you know. It just looks so much better and it's just like, oh, I can't wait to see this thing in full paint. It's gonna look gorgeous, you know. Yeah, that brandy wine is gonna be unreal.
So we sprayed some of that urethane brandy wine on some of the door jams, and so it's just, you know, obviously it's very well prepped, but it's not prepped to the extent of a exterior panel surface. Mm-hmm. And it's like urethane, so it's not even the true base coat, and it looks killer.
Oh, it does.
And so it's like, and that's just like, it's going to look probably 40% better because that's not even wet sanded. It's not even polished, not even buffed.
Right.
It's like, God dang, this paint's going to look insane.
I know. And Aaron's nailing it too. I mean, yeah, those jams look,
yeah.
And when he laid out those jams, it looked like he has cut and buffed and polished them. No. I mean, they look so good.
Yeah.
And the fact, like, just seeing that little bit, and then you vision it on the outside of the car, it's just like, yeah, I can't wait to just see this thing in paint. So pretty excited about that. And, but yeah, like everything else, I mean, the Scout's coming along.
Yeah, got that 37 Ford truck. We about got everything here to get us through mock-up and then start assembling it. And hopefully in the next couple months here, that thing fire up. And got some pretty trick wheels on order for that thing. Set of Detroit steels, so that'll be first time we've worked with a set of those wheels. Yeah. So
speaking, should we tell the story about the Detroit speed wheels?
Yeah.
So we ended up on our Stingray venture, we got to tell another story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We rolled through Moab. And so that was like kind of the route we decided to go down. And we come rolling up in Moab. And
right,
you've
around
never,
lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah. And you've never been there. And I've been there once on one of our bike journeys. And you're like, is there, like, where should a guy eat? And I was just like, there's only one place that I know because I've only stopped at that one time. So we pulled in and we stopped at this, where we went to park the Stingrays to go into this restaurant. And this probably, what is it, late 70s? Was it early 80s?
It had stacked lights. So I think it was like 82 and newer.
Okay.
It had stacked lights.
It was a single cab or a single wheel.
Single wheel.
Crew cab long box.
One ton with a copper, I think.
Now it'll work a steel
service
box in the back.
And he had a set of Detroit steels on it. And so basically these wheels are like,
they were 20s, I think he said.
They were 20s, and I think you had to wait too long for the 22s or something like that, or they're too expensive.
And this thing was white. It looked as plain as original.
It looked like a forest.
Yeah.
Like a government rig.
Yeah.
But just minty. It probably was because the thing was mint. But yeah, it had so this, you know, obviously he was a car guy. You know, you just don't roll around in that kind of truck without, you know, not knowing with what you're in, you know.
So we finally get the Stingrays parked and this dude comes rolling up. And of course, as car guys, what's the first thing we notice is
the wheels.
Wheels.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, those are the same wheels we'll be putting on this 37 Ford for a truck. Kind of period correct, but a little bit bigger diameter wheel. A little bit wider. Kind of allows for an offset. So you get that vintage look, but you also get a little bit of hot rod style with it, which is what we're trying to achieve, you know, with keeping the exterior of this 37 all original.
So this dude rolls up and he gets out of the truck, and right away you're like, hey, are those
Detroit Steels?
Yeah.
Detroit Steel wheel. And he's like, yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, sweet, we're about to put some on a 37 Ford truck. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, you can't beat them. You really can't.
No. And I think, sweet. Yeah, they are. I mean, they look good on there. And I said, how many people have pointed out your wheels right away, knew what company they were with you come rolling up? And he goes, not many at all.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not very frequent. Does somebody know like what brand, company, wheels, and especially like on that truck? So he was pretty impressed. You know, he kind of had that weird look like, how the heck did you guys know what wheels these were? Because it's such a unique wheel. Yeah, yeah, they're very unique. But so that was kind of cool.
But to the average person, they'd look like a stock wheel.
Yeah, they would never. Your normal like, person okay, would never know. Man. Yeah. But so, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on at the shop. We're going to be kind of getting ready. So we started something with Harley Davidson down the road. And, of course, like everybody knows, I'm really good, pretty good friends with Kyle over there. And we're actually planning a bowling competition. We're going to compete against each other to we're going to get a group together. We're going to come up with a name, and we're going to bowl 3 games, and then the highest out of the 3 will get the trophy. And then next year we're going to compete again. We might bowl. I told him, I said, we might do cornhole. We might do axe throwing. I don't know. Maybe we'll do whatever we come up with. We're just going to do this competition thing back and forth. So I know we've been getting ready for that bowling tournament coming up here. And I was just over there yesterday talking to Kyle about it. And he is all like giddy, like a little kid. He's like, there's guys that are like jacked up and ready to do this bowling tournament thing. So we'll keep you informed when we get ready to do that. And if anybody's around and they want to stop down and cheer us on, or Harley or whatever, it doesn't matter. We'll have like some Facebook Live videos and stuff of us competing. So we got to come up with a name. And I told them yeah, we got to come up with a team name. And then they have to come up with a team name, and so that we can have this whole legit thing. So it's pretty cool.
Team Customs and Team Rough Rider.
Now we got to come up with like something bowling related.
Going down, Spencer. You're going down, Ben. You're going down,
DJ.
DJ.
He was the other one that was really
going down. Bill.
Yeah.
Going down.
Yeah.
See who else is there.
I said no sharks, because I said, you know, I'm not bringing any. So they all have to be like legit people.
God, who's that other dude?
I think Chris was the other one.
Yeah.
Chris was the other one.
Especially you, Chris.
Yeah.
You suck.
Yeah. We're going to.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm not actually.
So no, it'll be fun. So we'll keep announcing as we get closer on that whole ordeal. But I'm pretty excited about it. Just do something different, do something fun that, you know, I've never done before. But it gets us together, bring some people together, and just have a good old time about it, you know. So stay tuned with that. But other than that, I don't think we have anything else.
No, it's just grinding going into winter. So getting stuff done and getting projects to keeping them on the track and getting stuff done.
Yeah, cool. So don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and drop a comment. If there's anything you want us to talk about, let us know. And leave comments about our show if there's anything you'd like to hear or comment on. Until then, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Unriveted Radio. Also available on demand with the SuperTalk 1270 mobile app. Download in the App Store or Google Play today. Unriveted Radio, presented by Dakota Customs, a full-service custom garage on the Strip in Mandan.